we offer our clients is really important. Now, that's a bit of a no-brainer, of course, because, you know, we're a business. People come to us and they expect a service, but there's a lot of dynamics happening there. Because, I mean, if we just focus on the industry of web design, which I know, clients and businesses out there don't know a lot about it. So they don't know what questions to ask. It's an area full of uncertainty, full of doubt. So when they go into this looking for suppliers or engaging suppliers, they're nervous, perhaps maybe a little defensive. They know they're out of the depth. And we can make that easier or harder for clients, depending on how we set our stall out. And I think that's a good image to bear in mind. It's that, you know, it's almost like the jamboree kind of, the bring and buy sale kind of thing. We've set up our little table and we display our wares on there and people can come up. They can look at what we've got on offer. They can buy, they can ask questions. Now, that whole interaction, even though we're not at a bring and buy sale or a jamboree, that whole interaction happens all the time. That is the nature of business. That's when people come to your website. That's when they're looking at your stall. And whenever I think of things like that image of a stall, it does make me think of the famous Harvard business study, where they did a study about a stall selling, I think it was 25 types of jams, and another stall, I think it was selling 5. Same kind of location, same kind of price. The price wasn't an issue, but the one stall just had more on offer, more to display. The reality is that the stall selling fewer products, only 5, they made a lot more money. Why did they make more money? Because there was less burden on the client. They had less decisions that they needed to make so that they could part with money. And there, we're just talking about jam. We're talking about a bog standard day-to-day product. Let's move that into the world of digital, where there's so many complexities involved. So I think the takeaway from that is to really refine the offering. And when we talk about the offering, it's sort of, what are we initially saying we do? Especially when we talk about our business for the first time to people and how we describe it on our websites. That's how we're framing the problems that we can solve. I always like to describe it, whether it's the website or whether it's that initial conversation where we're talking about our offering, that's where we're showing that shop front. You know, the shop front you walk past on the high street, it's very decorative, it's very thought through, everything's got its place. It's very crafted. It's not the stock cupboard in the back of the building, the dusty stock cupboard with ladders and shelves. I combine shadows and ladders there to create that. So it's not everything which you can offer people. It's because that can swamp businesses if you just hit them with all that long list of stuff initially. The initial conversation is about framing things, keeping it simple for clients. You can always open the door to other things which you can sell later on. But if somebody asks what you do and you rattle off 47 things, A, they won't remember half of it. Christ, they won't even remember a third of it. But B, I think they won't know what you do. They'll just think, oh, they do everything. Whereas if you just say, like if I said, if Glass Mountain is, we're WordPress specialists. Now, admittedly, we can do other things, but I can't expect people to remember a million things about us. So I just say we're WordPress specialists, that message hits home. That's always in what I put on LinkedIn and all of those kind of things. And people turn to me, oh, you do WordPress, don't you? Great. That's the start of the conversation. We can have a conversation. They got WordPress, brilliant. What kind of work do they need? Can I get them onto the pay-as-you-go system so we can do a couple of hours work with them, which is great because, you know, obviously we're getting paid to do work. But experiencing working with us is a great way to convert small clients into bigger clients. So I think thinking about your offering and looking how it's displayed on your website is absolutely crucial. And if you're anything like me, and I'm a bugger for this, I'll tell you that for nothing. Because we design websites, I am so laser focused on other people's sites about their offering. Even though we don't do content, I'm focused on the high level about things like offering, because that does come down to the design of the homepage. Whereas when you look after your own website, you look at your own website, you're almost too close to it to see the problems and to fix them. I recommend sometimes with your own website, or even clients with this, pardon me, print off key pages, look at them in the cold light of day, sometimes look at them within the web browser. Again, I think something magic happens where your eyes glaze over, but printing things out is a great way of getting around those problems. That's a long-winded way of saying it's difficult sometimes to heal your own problems. And I do hear about sometimes where web design companies get other web design agencies to design their websites. And I could understand that, because going through somebody else's process can be very beneficial. But definitely focusing on those services is key. I don't know how many visitors we get to our website each day. Let's say it's 100. I don't know what percentage of those off the top of my head land on the homepage, but for people who are coming to the website, I want them to quickly be able to frame who we are. For people who've been referred to us, like, oh, go and speak to Glass Mountains, they can help. I really, really want those to feel at home when they land on the website and to understand what we do and to have our services resonate with them. But again, it is very much though about putting those services into a context which clients understand. For instance, like last year at some stage, I launched what's called the pay-as-you-go WordPress support service. In reality, I've probably always offered that, but I've never really thought about it and I've never really framed it. Pay-as-you-go support, where people don't have to have an ongoing support agreement with us, but they can buy a couple of hours here and there for when they need us to look at something. I make it clear on the website that that's not for emergency support. We've got the higher level support packages for us. So I frame the product well within it. The whole name, pay-as-you-go, I don't know if that means so much in the States, but certainly in the UK, that is very related to pay-as-you-go mobile phones. So people understand the principle of pay-as-you-go. And in that sense, they understand the difference between pay-as-you-go and, say, a contract phone. And that's one way I've gone about trying to frame what we do into a way that clients understand, and to make it easier, not for them just to understand us, but to make it easier for them to buy from us. Pay-as-you-go page, go there, look at it. You can buy 3-hour blocks, 10-hour blocks, 20-hour blocks, I think. And there's buttons for the UK and the US, obviously for GBP and US dollar, depending on the country they're in. So that, you know, we're not doing anything particularly magic with the service. We're just elaborating and explaining the offering in as simplistic manner as possible to all the busy people out there. Which means that when I promote the pay-as-you-go service on social media, etc., they've got a nice big banner, they can go to the page and they can understand it. Now, that page is not perfect. Indeed, only the other day I realised it didn't have many testimonials on it from previous pay-as-you-go customers, partially because it's only been running since March last year. So we've got a variety of customers that have been on it, but I've just not reached out to them and said, hey, can we have a testimonial? So I've started doing that and I'm starting to introduce it. I may add a video onto the page as well. I'm not so sure. But all of those key services pages, they should be very much under the microscope a lot. And I think I'll end with a final story from a freelancer who used to work with us. Now, this freelancer had a specific set of skills, and I can remember saying to them, "No, well, how do you do X, Y, and Z?" And said, "Oh, well, I can do X, and it'll take 3 days, and that's what I do." And I remember saying, "Well, okay, so I can't explain that to a client. We're going to have to sort of make the clients understand what they can have for, say, a day's work or 3 days' work or 5 days' work. We need to be able to carve it up into a stall with three pots of jam, which the client can understand." And I can remember the freelancer being shocked by this, thinking, "Oh, I've never thought of doing it that way. I've never thought of carving it up into a different kind of way, and then approaching clients and saying, do you want to have the raspberry jam, the strawberry jam, or I don't know, what's another type of jam? Marmalade. Is that jam? I don't know." And I think, no, so the freelancer had always expected work to flow to them, and that's fine. However, if you have got well thought out, understandable services, you can go on the front foot. You can say, you can have this. This is what you can get for that money. I think a lot of people, they worry about trying to shrink wrap elements of this service into, for want of a better word, let's call them products, even though I'm not sure if that is the best word. I think a lot of people worry about shrink wrapping up because they're not sure what to put in it. Well, I think you've just got to take a punt. And I think as long as you're clear as to what's included in that service, and I think as long as it's clear that clients can go in there and they can choose A, B or C, depending on what they want, then the situation is fine. Because if a client has chosen only the option which gives them half a day's work, then they can only get the value which you pour into that product. If they've chosen the one for 2 days, fine. If they've chosen one for the week, fine. But I've certainly learnt the hard way over time to really try and think hard about what you're selling, because what you're selling is very rarely the same as what you think you're selling. And bridging that gulf, that I want to say ignorance gulf, but ignorance sounds like I'm being rude, but no, I simply mean ignorance in the sense that there is a lack of knowledge. That gulf, you imagine, you can almost see like a valley now with on the top of either side of the valley, you've got the web design company and the other side is the client. Sort of, how do we bridge that in a language which makes it easy for those people to meet? That's where a lot of sales won and lost is in that issue there. If you've got any thoughts about packaging up your offering, how you've evolved your offering over time, whether that's because of feedback from clients, or whether that's because of books you've read, or other kind of experiences which have made you think about your offering, I'd love to hear about it. I don't know, on this podcast, I think if you go to Anchor, I can't obviously drop a link in here, but via the Anchor app, where you'll find this website, this podcast, I think there's a way of you dropping me a message. Otherwise, feel free to get in touch on Twitter, where you'll currently find me as Joel, Joel, _ Hughes, Hughes. And there we go. Thanks very much for listening. If there's any areas you'd like me to mull about on my next 15-minute podcast, then please do get in touch. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.